Blog Talk Radio.
You are about to enter into the world of the paranormal with your hosts, Sherry Peng and Jason O'Fear. Explore with us the world of ghosts, UFOs, demons, and Bigfoot. You can also call into the show at 215-383-3999 and join the discussion.
Hello, everybody in internet land. Welcome to another episode of Paranormal Horizons. I'm Jason O'Fear, here with Sherry Peng. Sherry, we have another episode. How's it going?
Yeah, hanging in there. I'm hanging in there, guy. What about you?
No, I'm not doing too bad. Life can be difficult at times and kind of going through a low point, but that's okay. I guess that's what life's about. But I'm excited that we get to do another episode of Paranormal Horizons. And from what I understand, you have a great guest, and we're going to learn a little bit about Halloween.
Yes, and I think, Jason, have we ever covered about the history and the culture of Halloween before?
I think so, but it was a long time ago, so I believe that going over it again would.
Yes, it would be great. I'm excited, and I would like to know more about it.
I don't know much. I mean, it was such a long time ago, I can't remember much. I always hear about Halloween being a pagan holiday, but I for the life of me can't remember any of the specifics behind it. So I'm excited to learn about it as we are slowly approaching Halloween. I know a lot of people out there, a lot of the Christian folk don't really embrace holiday, and I know some people say it's evil and you're in league with the devil and all that. I don't know. I don't think I'd take it that far, but so we should be learning about that. Who did you line us up with to talk about it? I know, but we'll just let the listeners know.
Right. And so Mark Freeman will be coming on air pretty soon. Is he in queue yet?
Yep, he's ready to go. So if
ready to go. Yes, we're going to have Mark, and he's going to discuss that. And, I'm excited because you get to learn a lot. I don't know hardly anything about it, and I'm really it's going to be very educational and very informative. I'm really excited, and I'm really looking forward to Halloween this year.
History and tradition is really interesting, you know, whether it be in the Western world or in native cultures somewhere else in different corners of the planet. It's fascinating. And with Halloween being such a big thing, I know there are people out there that are completely obsessed with Halloween. They count down the days. Halloween is over. They start counting down the days, and they have these Halloween calendars, and oh, it's 300 days till Halloween or whatever. And some people really truly live for this one day of the year, this one evening. To me, that seems like they're out there. In fact, I know some people that are like that, that just, they wait day by day every year just to get to that Halloween evening. It's crazy. And I don't think they're adults, so it's not to get the candy, but they just love it. And I don't understand it, but it's interesting. So with that, we'll bring Mark on right now and learn a little bit about Halloween. Hey, Mark, how's it going?
Great. I'm good. How are you today?
Doing great. Looking forward to hearing a little bit about Halloween.
Well, it's I'm one of those folks that you just talked about. How many days left till Halloween?
Yeah.
Hi, Mark.
Not told him. Hey, Sherry, how you doing, girl?
Oh, I'm hanging in there. Hanging in
good.
There.
Well, I identify myself as an earth-based person. I identify myself as a pagan, as a Jew. Part of me is a Christian. And the largest part of me probably is the pagan part, and that's the part where, you know, I identify myself as a witch. Casually, I usually don't use the term that much, but for us, Halloween is there's another name for Halloween, and that's Samhain. And if you try to spell it, it'll spell like it's Samhain, but that's Samhain, and that's where the roots of Halloween come from.
Hmm.
Halloween was, I think, put together basically just to give to make it less mysterious and give people something to think about instead of Samhain. Unfortunately, many people have a real bad connotation of what Samhain is. In fact, as you mentioned before, some Christian folk don't even like to have their kids do Halloween because it's still just a little bit too close. But I'll say right off the bat, it has nothing to do with evil or devil or, you know, mistreatment of animals or anything else. It's a time to look inside on the Samhain side. And on the Halloween side, it's time to have fun with the kids and get them stupid on candy and set your house up so that when they walk around the neighborhood, you hear them going, ooh, before they get to the door. I absolutely adore that part of it. I truly do. Here, I'll let somebody else speak for a second.
Okay.
So, as I said, I really do like Halloween, but Halloween was something that was put together as an alternative to Samhain. Samhain has been practiced as one of the eight Sabbaths of the year, eight high holidays, if you will. Within the pagan community, there's eight times during the year that they get together and they celebrate. And one of those, and in fact, the last one slash first one is Halloween. That's considered the witch's New Year's. And the big thing about Samhain is it's the time of the year, that one night, is the time of the year when the veil, and what I mean by that is the distance or the proximity of those who have already passed, our ancestors, those that have not yet been born. And it's a time when that veil, when that space between us is at its thinnest. A lot of folk get together so that they can find out more about their friends, their families that they've lost. And it's a time for deep introspection. It's a time when, Sherry's going to come to Samhain, to the house here this year. And I think it's kind of her first one where there'll be a circle involved. Is that right, Sherry?
That is correct.
I thought so. Good. Well, I'll just talk about the whole evening, and then it probably will raise some questions for folks. In my little hometown here, from 3 o'clock until 5 o'clock in the afternoon, and this is just a regular old split down the middle conservative, you know, liberal community, and they decided years and years ago to create a safe space for the kids for Halloween. So they block off the entire main street. It's about 7 or 8 blocks long, I think. And all the businesses on Main Street get candy, and all the kids, they walk around from door to door to door getting candy. It is an absolute delight. And that's how I always, you know, since I've been here in Mac, how I like to start my Samhain. Because as you see all the kids all dressed up in all of these, you know, spooky costumes or, you know, a Pokemon or, you know, whatever. And they're walking around. You know what I mean. You're walking around getting candy. if you pay attention to the middle of the street, streets all blocked off, there'll be some folks like me. And Sherry this year, too. We're going to walk up and down the center of the street, our real regalia on. In other words, how we dress up to go to church, so to speak. So, and Samhain is just a little different than some of the other Sabbaths in the sense that I have asked everybody that's going to come to on the 31st to create a mask that can be on a stick. You know, you can hold it in front of your face or paper mache or, you know, whatever you want to do, but to create a mask. And that mask is on your face and you are presenting to spirit, and no matter how you choose to see that, what it is that you want to be for the next year. What is it that you really want to work on in your own, with your own, you know, stuff? And I think everybody knows what I mean by stuff. In other words, I feel that I am responsible for everything that I do and everything that I say. I have no one that I can go and confess to. I have no one I can blame. I have to take total and complete responsibility for all the things that I say, that I think, and that I do. So this is an opportunity for me to become active in my own work and present to all of my friends and all of my family and to anyone who wants to see what it is that I really want to work on over this next year. So we're gonna do that, and we're gonna process up and down, for an hour or so maybe, and then we're gonna make our way back to the house. I live about 10 blocks away, so it's approximately a half a mile. Hopefully, knock on wood, no rain this year, I hope. So we'll get back to the house, and then the rest of the evening will be spent just like anybody else's. You know, we'll have spooky music on, and you know, there's spiders and, you know, skeletons and, you know, that kind of stuff, you know, around the front door, and we'll pass out candy. And we'll, as the evening goes along, we'll have a little something to eat. But when we get to the end of the evening, and what I mean by that is midnight is that, you've heard the term, that witching hour. That time that we all, collectively, we've agreed that, meaning, you know, pagan folk, the vast majority agree that midnight is that time when that veil is actually at the thinnest. So we will, I've asked everybody that's coming to create two lists, two separate pieces of paper. And the first piece of paper has all the things that you want to let go of that have happened over this last year. You know, you've, like, as you know, as you remember, I lost my wife 2.5 years ago, and I want to let go of a little bit more of that grief. So that's one of the things that'll be on my list. I have felt, I'm a psychic person, and I, you know, use tarot cards and things like that. But one of the curses of, not the good, one of the curses that a psychic has is that they wander around and they'll look at somebody and they know everything there is to know about them. But unfortunately, sometimes what happens, you get kind of stuck in only seeing the icky bits of that individual or the horrible things that are coming their way and so on and so on. So as a result, I became aware of that I got stuck in that pattern over the last several months. And that's one of the things that's going to be on my list. It's going to be about seeing the goodness in people, having hope, having joy, as well as seeing that other stuff. So that's the kind of thing I mean when I say it's going to be on my list of the things I want to let go of. I want to let go of only seeing the discomfort. I still want to see that because that's my job. That's what I do. And if somebody comes to me and asks me, then I can tell them what I see. So, that's one list. Then the second list are all the things that you want to bring into your life over this next year. all of the things that you've been hoping for and dreaming about and beginning to feel passion for. It's been a very – I'm going to talk about sex now for a second. I won't talk about parts. It's been a very long time since I've been involved in a sexual relationship. Michael was sick for a long time. And I'm at that point now in my life that I really want to begin to do that again, you know, to have that a part of me. So that's one of the things that will be on my list of the things that I want to bring into my life. Not just and you have to be very careful about what you try to let go of and what you attempt to bring in, because we believe that you get exactly what you ask for. So you have to be very careful about what it is you're asking. In other words, how you're asking for it. I don't want to just become some part of a, you know, some club where everybody is, you know, all is checked and we're all clean and we just go and we just pick partners and have fun. I mean, you know, on some level that sounds like a lot of fun, but that's not what I mean when I'm saying I want to have sexual activity back in my life. I want to meet someone or find someone that is compatible. It doesn't mean that I will or I won't fall in love, but it's not a love spell, and I'm not trying to make somebody do something they don't want. I'm saying to the world and to all of my friends, I am truly open to this now. To me, that's what Samhain is. That's what Halloween is, and that's what a lot more folks than you may think, guys, girls out there, that are live their life this way and they just never say a word. You don't have to be a part of a community. You can just be a solitary and still abide by the Sabbaths, meaning Halloween as being one of the eight. Okay, I dominated. Any questions?
So it's because the veil is the thinnest, and then that are you saying that allows you to let things go easier and bring things that you want into your life because the veil is the thinnest during Halloween?
Yes, but a little bit more than that. What I mean is, when the veil is the thinnest, we have opportunity to be able to connect with our teachers, our guides. Like I said, the folks in our lives that have passed and people that we want that maybe we don't even know yet, but we can begin to get to know them. So it's an opportunity, but it's still my responsibility to step up and to have integrity. I have to have the integrity that's required. That's why Halloween has all of this scary stuff attached to it, because it really is very scary to come to Samhain. And what I mean by that is, if I'm really not paying attention to myself, you know, and I haven't been for a while, but I decide I'm going to go ahead and do Samhain anyway, I'm going to meet up with my friends, and I haven't really thought things through well or felt things through well, I could create negativity in my life if I'm not careful. That's what I mean by when the veil is the thinnest. We have the greatest opportunity to have actual direct communication with spirit. And I leave that up to you how to define that. With spirit than we do it any other night throughout the year.
Hey, Mark.
Now
that it's getting closer and closer as the days go on, the veil's becoming thinner and thinner, correct? It's just like gradual progression of fall or whatever season. This is where it's just a little bit more. The veil is thinning between the two worlds.
Yes, that's right. That's exactly right. Now, historically, I can't really tell you why, you know, what historical things that made Samhain the day, other than my ancestors for hundreds, thousands of years, the Druids have been doing this kind of stuff, Samhain, that is, the eight Sabbaths, for over 3,500 years. And the same thing could be said for folks in China or in Africa or On the November the 1st, when you get south of the U.S. border is where it really starts to get strong. But as you move south, they have Day of the Dead.
That's what I was going to say, right on.
Day of the
Dead. In our culture, we have Day of the Dead. Right.
Exactly. And Samhain, for a pagan, is Day of the Dead. In other words, it's when we have the opportunity to be respectful, to make sure that our ancestors and your Asian descent, you have the same thing within your ancestral culture. You know, it's not that I'm saying, you know, we stick our ancestors up on a pedestal and pray to them like gods, although some cultures do. It's from my perspective, the more I know about the people that have gone before me that have passed on, my mother, my father, you know, aunts and uncles of generations back. Five generations back, we all have 512 grandparents. So, I mean, it doesn't take too long, and there's a lot of people, if you think about it in that way, in your life. And on Samhain, if you open yourself up to it, you might actually get messages from some of your ancestors to help you to understand my poor behavior, for example. You were going to say something?
Well, Jason and I are both adopted, so we have in a way, it's kind of nice because we have our adopted parents, but we may have our natural parents or biological parents that we have not known about, could be our ancestors from afar or spiritually can be watching over us.
Sure. It wouldn't be uncommon, Jason. It wouldn't be uncommon, let's say, if your actual birth parents are still alive, you know, whether you know them or not, then their mothers and their fathers, there's four people right there that would have an opportunity to step up, because folks on the other side of the veil, they know that veil's thin at that time also. And you could end up with messages.
Well, that sounds kind of frightening. I don't want no ghosts floating around at Halloween.
No, it's not ghosts. It's not ghosts. You know, ghosts are a thing that can manifest in your house, and you could get stuck with them in your house. That's not what this is. This is an open communication between consenting souls to talk, to understand each other. And, yes, you're absolutely right. That's why Halloween has all of this unfortunate stuff, because it is scary. It is. There's no question of that. But it puts us in the position of taking responsibility for our work, taking responsibility for who we are. And I was early in my growth. Meaning, you know, as, you know, becoming a witch and going through, I studied for 3.5 to 4 years, you know, to gather the information and the skill level that I have today. In other words, I was apprenticing for that period of time. Well, I think it was about year three in, my teacher felt that I was ready to start attempting communication with spirit. So for about 5, maybe 6 weeks, all the way from the previous, Sabbath, which would have been Mabon, that's the time for feasting, from that point until we got to Samhain, and they're approximately 6 weeks from Sabbath to Sabbath to Sabbath. Every day, for half an hour, working up to an hour, hour and a half, 2 hours, Michael would train me how to spin, with my eyes open, with my eyes closed, with a veil across my face. And what I mean by that is I would spin in a clockwise fashion and spin and spin and spin to that, so that I could get used to it on the physical, you know, so I wouldn't get dizzy and fall over. But when you alter your consciousness, you become more, you can hear better. So basically I was practicing for the night of Samhain. And we got together with a particularly large coven in Portland. Everybody was there. We were all dressed in black. Black is the absence of color. So it's receptive, in other words. Do you see what I mean? Whereas
mm-hmm.
if we all wore white, white is a lot. It's the presence of all colors, so therefore it's more assertive. Does that make sense to you?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. So we, the high priestess, she cast a circle, and she created sacred space, because that's anytime you cast a circle or people gather together, it's just like in Christianity where they say two or more of us gather in one spot. Hey, but it's a church. You know what I mean? It's the same
mm-hmm.
thing. We look at it the same way. So
okay.
we all got together, and I think there were 25, maybe 26 people in this large room. It was raining, so we were indoors. All the lights were turned way, way down, so there was just a little bit of candlelight here and there. And my teacher introduced me, and I stepped into the center of the circle. And I pulled my veil over, and I faced north, a discussion for another time. But in other words, my starting point, I faced north. And I started to spin in a clockwise fashion. And I spun with my veil down and my eyes kind of open or closed. They were both. And this went on for about 35 minutes. And I just paid attention. And anything that I heard, and I said, is there somebody here that had a goat named Paul or Polly? And somebody in the, and I don't know these people. This is just a very simple example. And she said, yes, he passed away 3 years ago. And it's not that the goat was talking to me, but I saw it. I
That's
saw it just,
weird.
Just like I'm looking at a holder for a candle, and I heard its name. It didn't talk to me, but I heard its name, and it was Polly. And I got a couple Polly, Paulette, something like that, but I did hit it. And the gal just started bursting into tears, and, you know, she's, how is she? You know, we all love our pets, right? So, and then there were other people that there was a young woman there who had recently lost a loved one, and I was able to talk to her about how this person was feeling and how they were, and she got a great deal of peace and tranquility out of it, because she realized that he was still there. He was still watching over her. And that's a lot of what Samhain is about. That's what all the Sabbats are about, but they all have different subjects. It's about improving ourselves, having integrity, owning who we are and what we are, and taking responsibility for all of our actions, all of our thoughts. Thoughts are things. It's this Samhain is kind of, it's New Year's. It's the cream on the top of the cake, you know, on top of the latte, you know. It's a time when you can, if you're really, really honest about it and honest with yourself, you can truly grow. You can truly become a better human being than you were a few days ago. Now, you know, it takes weeks and weeks and weeks of thinking about it and considering, and well, and then you have to actually make the mask that I spoke of earlier, you know, and that means that you're putting physical energy in to helping a communication manifest. And you don't have to know that, well, I want to go talk to my Uncle Bill. You know, you just have to be open. And if Uncle Bill has been on your mind, there's a pretty good chance, or at least a better chance, that Uncle Bill is going to show up, or than, you know, Aunt Sally. You see what I mean? We actively work to understand who we are. And I know I'm getting all, oh, wow, and all, you know, you know that. You know what I mean. I'm shaking my head back and forth. You know, oh wow, man. You know, I mean, come on. There's somebody that doesn't know anything about this, or I know they're shaking their heads back and forth, going, "This guy is crazy," you know.
I know some people are saying that it's all in league with and it's evil, and witchcraft is evil, and ceremonies were evil, and
it's because they don't know anything about it.
They rely on Hollywood.
They rely on Hollywood and the myths that have been created around it. You know, Michael, my wife, she was a brilliant human being, and she was a rememberer, and she remembered past lives. And one of the times, and the reason why our community was 100 people strong, she got sick and we had to stop and we had to move on. This was some years ago, but she remembered things. Oh, I don't remember the exact date she thinks it is, but it was in the 600s and it was in eastern part of Europe. And it was just a little quiet community out in the middle of the pucker bush, you know, not attached to a big town or anything. And she would describe what life was like there and what the Sabbaths were like there, what it was like at Halloween. And because those folks that could see, you know, spirit and talk to it and communicate with it, you know, the things that we negatively attached to being a witch, they were the psychologists. They were the healers. A lot of times they were the people who were the midwives, the doctors, and they could help with just physical plane stuff too. And that's because they got information from next door through the veil. There was something important to everybody know, and it's like, have everybody move away from the lake over the next 3 or 4 months. That could be a message that came through. And, you know, 5 families moved and 1 didn't, and a piece of earth broke loose and that family was wiped out. That's the kind of stuff that people say is horrible, because they never think about the 5 families that moved away because they trusted. They only think about how horrible that witch made that damn break and so on and so on. That person, you know, standing at that veil didn't necessarily know what it was that was going to happen. But because they've done it all of their lives, you develop a sense of trust. And I'll use a term that most think is only allowed to be used in Christianity, and that is faith. As that person that was that healer in that community, that high priestess, if you will, she, because of doing this every year, and stepping up every year, just like I do and many people do, we step up to that veil. We call it meditation. The veil isn't thin just at Halloween. You can talk across it anytime you want to. It's called prayer and meditation. But how Samhain is, Halloween is prayer on steroids. You know, it's that time when you better be sure what you're asking for, because there's one belief, if you will, or tradition within the craft, and that is that you will get what you put out for, period. You will get what you put out for. So be careful about what you ask for.
Now, are there people out there, I know that there aren't very admirable, that are utilizing this thinness in the veil for evil, nefarious purposes? Satanism or whatever, are there other religions out there that are utilizing this to manifest dark things into the world?
In a sense, yeah. Because if everything I'm talking about could be categorized under one word, and that is magic, okay? Magic is magic is magic. It's your intention that affects what happens. Now, the uninitiated might have some pretty icky experiences doing stuff, especially if they don't know what they're doing. Like I said, I trained for 4 years and have continued to learn every day for the rest of my life since then. And that was, you know, what, 25, 26 years ago, something like that. And if you were to walk down the street and you see me, you would know I was any different than anybody else. And I'm not. Mm-hmm. I'm just trying to take responsibility for who I am and what I do in the world. Just like we expect and hope from every other person out there around us. Do your work. Take responsibility for yourself. Be humble. You know, deal with your arrogance. Deal with your anger. You know, anger is the easy way out when you've been wronged. Anger is a natural reaction. I'm not saying it's not, but it's the coward's way out. What Samhain teaches us is to be courageous, to step up, own, and take responsibility for the things that we have done and that have been done around us. Even if you can't understand why it was done, you can choose to spend the rest of your life all pissed off, or you can find peace and joy in your life. No matter if you're a rape victim, or you know your mom and dad died in an airplane accident when you were 7 years old, so you're old enough to understand what happened but can't understand why. You can spend the rest of your life being miserable, that seven-year-old, and be sad and depressed and just horribly, you know, blah, blah, blah. Or you can choose to take responsibility for how you feel and do something about it. Samhain, and well, all the Sabbats, but Samhain in particular is kind of like having a really good card reading or astrology reading for someone. It's kind of like having 3 weeks of therapy in 30 minutes. If you take it, take the responsibility. And I can't tell you what to do. I can't tell you how to live. I can't tell you what you should or shouldn't do. That's not my job. My job is to be there when someone is of need and try to answer the questions based on what I hear, I see, I feel. And because I've been doing it for a long time, it's a muscle like any other. You have to exercise that muscle, that ability to be able to hear spirit is a muscle. And Samhain is simply, like I said, it's just doing your work, but it's on steroids. You know, it's on that edge. It's packed. And that's why you see a lot of folks, even if they don't know it, that's why they get excited about Halloween, is because magic is afoot. It really happens. It's really quite amazing. I'm astounded by it every single year. And used a four-letter word there. I am astounded every single day. What, like cards, for example, what they teach me, tarot cards, you know, what they teach me about who I am and what my possibility is. See, I do a card reading every day. I haven't missed a day in 23 years. I do it for
That's
myself
amazing.
Every day.
That's
yeah.
amazing.
Yeah. And it requires commitment. But I'm no, like I said, I'm no different than anybody else. And a lot of people have asked me over the years, and the same thing can be said about Samhain. Well, doesn't that set you up? Doesn't that control your life? And you know, because I get new information every day, and doesn't that make you behave in a certain way? And my answer to that is the same for Samhain, for cards. It could, but I choose not to. I choose to let it inform me of what I'm actually attracting to myself, what I'm pulling to myself because of unaware behavior or aware behavior. You know, sometimes just, you know, we get, you know, stuff happens, right? You know, the expression, I mean, you know, that happens. Well, see, I don't buy that as much as most folks do. I agree sometimes it does happen. But most of the time what happens in our lives is because we've been unconsciously putting out for it. Someone is a shot in the arm to help us remember to be responsible for our work. It's an amazing thing to sit, to stand in a circle on Samhain at midnight. The energy around you is palpable. You can feel it. And it's full of love and joy and commitment. And sometimes that's scary because it's telling you you have the opportunity. It's not telling you have to. You have the opportunity to really make a difference in your life right here, right now, if you listen to what it is that you're hearing. And I said it that way intentionally. If you're listening to what you're hearing, you can go to, you know, your friend's psychologist, high priestess, and ask him to help you to understand what it is that you heard or what you saw. But if that person is really good at what they're doing, they're going to encourage them and help them to find those answers themselves. Because when we find that thing that's in our way, you know, that's stopping us from being happy, instead of somebody coming to us and telling us, oh, yeah, it's A, B, and C. If you find A, which leads to B, which leads to C, it truly is more profound. And things can change in your life with a snap of the finger. It really can. It doesn't have to take 20 years of therapy to get through something. Things can change.
I agree.
It's practice, it's trust, and and being willing to step up to your fear. Step up to the scary bits that are in us. Because really that's what we're talking about is you need to face, you don't have to, but when you present yourself at Samhain, you're creating an opportunity to truly see what it is that you're afraid of. What keeps you separate from other people, that prevents you from opening your heart to someone that you want to tell them you love them, but you're too afraid to do it. Well, maybe you'll find that courage, but that comes from you finding it, not someone else telling you what to do. When you sit down with a psychic, they don't tell you what to do, not somebody that's good. They guide, they suggest, they push you in a certain direction, but they're not going to tell you that the problem is A. But they might say, you know, you need to look over in that neighborhood, you know, where A is in your life. Take a look at that, because we don't want to tell them what to do. Because if you don't have practice with accepting advice rather than feeling like it's something you have to do, you have a tendency to do things and it's going to get muddled in the process. If you find it and you abide by it and you step up, that's what Samhain is about. That's what Halloween is for. Face the scariest parts of you that you can. That's what it's about.
And how far back?
Please go ahead.
How far back does Halloween as we know it go? Like how many centuries?
You know,
where did it start?
No. Like I said, right, first words out of my mouth, I'm not a historian. But I believe that how we see Halloween today, you know, how we experience it today, didn't really start until post-World War II. That's when it started to become more commercialized and you could go buy, you know, outfits to go out and collect candy and stuff. Now, if somebody knows better than I, please, by all means, speak up. But prior to that, I mean, you know, during the Theosophist movement, the turn of the 20th century, you know, late 1800s to the early 1900s, that's when seances were, you know, really big, right? Well, you know, some folks may have real negative concepts of what, you know, what that is, a seance. But really, all it is trying to find the thinnest part of the veil on that particular day so that you can get information back and forth. And yes, there are charlatans, and yes, there are absolutely amazing, brilliant people. And there's a whole lot of folks in between. You know, just this is to all you guys that that think you're witches just because you've read this book or read that book. I like to think of you as being Google witches. A friend of mine coined that term. I know, it's great, isn't it? It was just brilliant. It was like, okay, we got to hang on to that one. You know, I love you. I do. And I want you to grow in this, and I want you to learn about who you are and find yourself. But find a mentor. Find a teacher. Don't take it just by what you read, because if you don't understand the reference and you only you're sure you understand the reference, it could be something entirely different or certainly multi-leveled. Find a teacher.
And I think when we talked before, there's probably hazards involved when witches, where they get a book and suddenly they're winning things and doing crazy things to understand to it, right?
Sure. Yeah. Well, like within my tradition, it was called the Red Witch tradition. And my wife was the high priestess. She was, you know, the boss. And I didn't get cut any slack, like, from anybody else. I studied and practiced and read, and the things that were there to help me to learn more about myself, because that's really all the craft is about, is know yourself, know thyself. You know, it was a full year of just being go get me the coffee, you know, go set up the candles. But yet I was within a community that I got to see the people around me that were a year or two or three or four years ahead of me. And so, you know, when you live, it's like, what better way is there to learn Spanish? You go live in a small town someplace, and the only thing that anybody in the entire town speaks is Spanish. You really want to learn how to speak Spanish? Well, any thinking human being would know that'd be the place to go. It's the same thing. There's nothing wrong with being a solitary. In other words, what that means is somebody who just chooses to practice on their own. That's fine. But you still need a teacher. You'll still need a mentor. You don't have to join. And I know there's a guy. Get ready, everybody. Here comes a scary word. Join a coven. So you don't have to be a part of a coven. I suggest that if you find a group of people that you know in your heart are good people, more than likely you're right. But, you know, there's wackos everywhere. I mean, you could be walking down the street, and I know if I'm sitting someplace outside of a cafe having a cup of coffee and a pedophile walks by, I know the person is. Most of us don't have that opportunity to know. So what I'm saying is something as disgusting as that could be in your church, could be in your mosque, could be in your temple, and you'd never know. Well, they could be in a coven too. A coven, a community of people who study the earth and themselves and understand who they are. It's made up of just like anybody else. What is it, 10% of the planet is, I think, is the last most recent statistic, is gay. You know, in three generations, red hair is going to go away. Genetically speaking, they don't think it'll survive more than three more generations. Well, yeah, so you're going to have somebody in your little community has red hair, but their great-grandson or great-granddaughter may not have it. because it's gone. It's the same thing with good or bane. I don't like to use the word evil. I acknowledge it, but it's good or bane because it's all choice. You choose to be involved. One of the more, I would say, commonly accepted understandings amongst all pagan communities, and that is that if you choose to do something good and you've done something good, there are rewards that come to you. Like us walking up and down the center of that street with all the kids, we get to suck up all that energy. It's not that we're vampires. It just hits you, you know. You're not out there pulling it out of somebody. It's just flying all over the place, and it's filled with absolute joy. Right? Same thing can be said for when you do your work. You know, a good witch could go their entire lifetime and never be able to count the number of spells that they've casted on one hand. It's not about spell work. Spells are real, and they're there, and they're there for good reason. But you could go your entire life and never do one. When you work with a positive energy, the reward that comes from this is that saying that I was trying to get to, is the reward is three times. Okay, you get a three times payback, so to speak, and enjoy or happiness or learning lessons. You know. Whereas you do something that's bane, something where you're actually attempting to cause harm to another human being. And remember, magic is magic is magic. Power is power is power. It's how you choose to use it. There's a 10 times reward for that. And the reason it's that way is because you have to be challenged on that level of integrity. That's the deal that you make when you step up. You will be tempted to do things that you know you shouldn't do, and you're going to have to face whether the person that you are. What am I going to do? This is all about you learning about who you are, and that's what Solemn is. Learning about who you are and finding honesty and truth and honor, respect for you and for all living creatures and things around you. That's Solemn. And you can say the same thing about Yule and Imbolc, Ostara, Beltane, Letha, Lunasa, Mavon, and back to Samhain. Those are the names of the Sabbats. And they all have different reasons for existing. So I'm according to my time here, I think I've exhausted our clock, haven't I?
Yeah, we have a couple minutes.
I'll leave it to questions.
It looks like we have about 8 more minutes.
Oh, cool. Okay. I mean, I can always find something else to talk about.
I wanted to ask you.
Please,
go ahead, Sherry.
No, it's really interesting. I'm learning so much, and I have great respect. I find myself this year, my soul has been really connected to the moon and the darkness, because I see myself, the shadow part of myself, the darkness of what appreciating the dark and the light. I just really have embraced the moon energy and what it
and
feels.
That terminology is Esbit. So you have Esbits and Sabbats, and Esbits, that word means when you follow the new moon and the full moon. Because if you combine astrology with that, one moon is going to be controlled by Leo, and then the next moon is, you know, whatever. I'm not an astrologer, so don't jump on me, folks. You know, in other words, there is energy, and you can jump all you want. Go ahead. There is energy in every living thing, and to me, the moon is alive. And that's what I'm hearing Sherry say. It's alive. And
it's
if you
amazing.
Pay attention to, yeah, you pay attention to what that moon is presenting on that dark moon, meaning new moon, right, or that full moon, that energy it's presenting, that's an energy that you can utilize and try to understand and try to bring into you to help you to work on the things that Leo means or Sagittarius means. You know, I'm not going to, you know, start talking about interpreting, you know, sun signs and all that stuff, but it's Yeah, Sherry, I know that this is something that's been so important to you. And hell, you've had to deal with some rather misbehaving spirits around your house too. And I know this last year you learned how and why they were there, and therefore how to ask them to leave. Spirits aren't benevolent. They aren't bad. They're confused. And when I'm using the word spirit in this case is, you know, like ghosts or, you know, an entity that's, you know, in your house or in your car or whatever. You know, that's what doing this work helps us to understand, because we all attract those things, especially if we're being mindless, you know, not paying attention, and we're just being angry. I'm not saying you were, Sherry, but, you know, just being F all of you, you know, I don't care, you know, and you're just pissed all the time. Well, what do you think you're going to attract to yourself? And even if you don't know you're doing it, I'm not talking to you, Sherry, I'm talking to everybody. Even if you don't know you're doing it, if that's what's starting to come to you, that should tell you to pay attention, because you are getting what you're putting out for. You're attracting that, and it's time for you to take a look at your personal behavior. That's what Samhain's about.
Absolutely. Go ahead, Jason.
Oh, it's excellent advice. I told you personally that I need to start putting out better vibes, because I do believe you get what you put out. You know, you're manifesting into your reality.
Right.
But
yeah, and
the question
you mentioned right in the beginning. Oh, please go ahead.
Oh no, go ahead.
I was going to say you mentioned right in the beginning that this has been a really tough time for you lately, and that's what someone is here to remind us to take a look at what it is. What is it about our behavior that is causing discontent with the people around us and the things around us? You can't do anybody else's work for them. You know, if they're pissed off about something, it's their choice not to be. You can't do anything to change that behavior, but you can change how you react to it and how you respond to it. And when you change your behavior, you know, your work to do that can make a difference in your environment. All of a sudden, maybe it's only icky 40% of the day, not 90% of the day. You know, and hell, I take every improvement I can get, you know, as long as I'm not causing any harm to anyone else. You know.
So the question I had was a little off topic. I wanted to get in. It sounds like, because we had, I think the last time we had talked to you, we had discussed tarot cards. If somebody wanted to get into tarot cards, is there a particular deck that would be good as a starter?
Yes. For me. Now, other people are going to say this one and this one and this one. But I have and have worked with the weight deck. WAITE, I think, is correct. It's the it's been around 112 years or something. It first was published, I believe, somewhere right after the, you know, the turn of the, you know, into the 20th century. And it was created by a guy whose name was Waite. And the artist that does the pictures is Coleman. And he was out to evangelical Christian. And he had set a goal for himself to, because remember, they're in the midst of the Theosophist movement, all of the seances and so on were going on around that time. And he was out to prove how horrible it all was and how it's, you know, the devil's involved and so on and so on. Once he started looking at it and really listening to people and what they had to say and not listening just to what you've been taught to hear, but actually listening to what folks were saying, then ultimately he ended up creating the deck. It's Rider-Waite. And the Rider-Waite deck is, like most of them out there, There's 22 major arcana, in other words, large ideas, human concepts. And then there are four suits, just like in a deck of cards, and they have four separate meanings to them. And they, when you work with them in tandem, and there's many ways to do it, you know, I won't even say how I do it because I don't want to narrow anybody. But when you work with them, they help you to understand what's around you today. That's what they're for. They don't tell you what to do. They don't tell you how to change. They can point directions, and they can suggest, and you can have some, you know, icky person that utilizes them and uses them to tell you what to do. Doesn't mean they don't know how to read the cards. It just means that they're more attracted to those 10 times reward instead of 3. So you always got to take it with a grain of salt, with tarot cards, astrology, anything else. If it feels like you can trust the individual, give it a try.
All righty. And I do notice we're out of time, but we did have a caller. Do you want to take a quick caller before we close the show?
Sure, yeah.
All right.
Welcome. Hi.
Hey.
I have to say that Mark Freeman, I know, and he is one of the finest psychics, healers, and teachers I've ever met in my whatever years. So I did want to interject that the Celtic New Year is a lunar calendar. And
right.
So I know that one of the hosts is connecting with the moon more and more. And Stanford University did a quick study on all of the calendars around the world. You know, we just had Rosh Hashanah, you know, in reference to Lashana Tova, New Year, et cetera, Ramadan, Chinese, Celtic. And the every calendar came out with a symphony. They hooked it up to a computer and with music, and it had a place to go. The only calendar that was static electricity is our calendar, the Julian calendar,
the Gregorian
one that we in the West have been subject to for a couple thousand years. Static electricity. Just wanted to interject. Happy New Year.
Thanks, darling.
You too.
This young woman is my wife's sister, and we've had a very close relationship for a very long time. So
yep.
She's a little prejudiced, but yeah, you know, I'm pretty good. But you know, that's for people in the outside world.
It's the truth. It's the truth. Thank you for having
Fair
me
enough.
On the
Thank
air.
You.
Thanks
you
for calling
in.
In.
Okay.
Yeah,
all right, ciao.
Well, I mean, the message you put out is really positive, and I totally wholeheartedly agree with it. I'm a skeptic with a lot of things, but it doesn't matter.
If that's why you're good at what you do.
Yeah, and it doesn't matter. I mean, if the message resonates with me or anybody out there, you don't have to necessarily believe in the ritual and all that. It, you know, if you believe, you get, then that makes perfect sense. And I believe that the universe operates in that way. But with that, we're a few minutes over, so I wanted to close the show and thank you, Mark, for coming on and talking about Halloween and all that. If somebody wants to contact you, is there a way to do that, if they have questions or want to learn more about what you do?
Yeah, sure. The simplest way is, of course, you know, Facebook, and that would be Mark Stephen Freeman. And I live in McMinnville, Oregon, so you can distinguish which one. I also have an email address, which is the word dragonfly, 5555, at frontier.com. And I will try to respond, no matter what your question or concern is.
Awesome. Well, thank you again for coming on, and hopefully we can and in the future. And I'm sure there's a lot more left that we could learn about from you and your experiences and training. And so thank you again for coming back on Paranormal Horizons.
It's my pleasure.
I appreciate you coming back. Thank you for having me.
I'm not afraid of talking to people, so I love it. I enjoy the opportunity.
And your wealth of knowledge
and information.
And you clearly have a lot of myths of what Halloween is projected on, what people think supposedly, kind of thing. There's really a big spiritual element to what Halloween is, and people don't realize that.
Yeah. All of this stuff is all psychology. It's just a way of understanding yourself. And the whole purpose of life is to be good and kind to yourself, understand yourself, and treat people how you want to be treated. The Christians got quite a bit of it right. You know, not all of it, in my opinion, but a lot of it. I wear a cross, and I wear a star. And happy to have them. And I have a fork around my neck all the time, which indicates that I'm a priest. So, anyway, thank you so much, guys, and have fun. Okay?
Yes, thank you.
Thanks, Mark. Halloween.
Yay.
You too.
All
righty.
Bye-bye.
Thank you. Wow, that was a good show. Wow. I learned a lot.
You get what you put out, and that makes total that I can understand. Although I do have a differencing opinion on the moon. I actually have wondered sometimes if the moon isn't in fact a giant UFO mothership. I'm not the only
UFO, really.
I'm not the only one that believes that. There's a few things that suggest that could be possible.
Oh, that would be.
But
that's a possibility. Wow.
Maybe.
Well,
that's a little too far out there.
We'll have to cover that in another show. That's for sure. Oh my goodness.
So what do we got next week?
Next week, in the spirit of Halloween, folks, we're going to keep on staying in the subject of the paranormal and Halloween and that kind of thing. So next week is going to be a new guest. His name is Brian F. And he's going to have to correct the outlet. Anyway, he is a bishop by Massachusetts, and he's going to talk about being a demonologist.
Very cool.
Demonologist. Yeah, so we're going to learn some other angles of what he has learned through his experiences with entities, demonology, parasites, getting rid of those kind of things. So, very interesting guy. Was a knowledge. I mean, just amazing. I talked to him, I guess, the other day for about an hour, and I just learned so much from what he has told me. It's amazing, and I'm so happy to have him back on our show. So, I would love to just go from there. So, we'll see what.
I'll have to make sure that I put salt around all the doors and windows and put crucifixes up in my room for that show.
I think so. You better be prepared.
No. You never know. All right.
Okay, Jason. All right. Thank you guys for listening and supporting us. We all appreciate you.
Absolutely. And we'll be back next Sunday, 8 p.m. West Coast time, and talk about demons and scary things. So with that, hope everybody has a great week, and we'll see you next Sunday.
Take care, peace, and be safe.
Good night, everyone.
Bye-bye.